We continue on looking at God's blueprint for parents. This we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Out on the book table there is the book that we are following that I have published, God's Blueprint for Marriage and Family. And today we're going to continue on with what we began last week. We're going to take a pause next week, though, because next week I'll be sharing a special message that relates to the Lord's birth and the wonders of all that. But we're going to look at God's blueprint for parents, and it's time for review here. Number one, God's plan for husbands and wife, God's design is for the husband and the wife to seek to have children. It discourages my heart today when I see so many who have what I would call planned barrenness. If you want to see what planned barrenness does, all you have to do is go to France. All you have to do is go to Germany. They're about to lose their culture in those places because they have a birth rate that's just a little bit over one point something. As a result of that, they cannot keep sustaining the culture. Even in the United States of America, because of the fact that we have had 6 million children, or wait a minute, 60 million children murdered by abortion, we're in trouble because we look at our culture, and so the people who could have jobs and the people who would have been had purchasing power were not there in the United States, and the Social Security system not only has it been raided throughout the years, but it's not being replenished because there aren't people to replenish. And so there's a judgment on nations that don't follow God's command. God's design when you get married is for a husband and a wife to seek to have children. I know sometimes that's not possible, but it is God's design for that. And as we read in Psalm 127, children are an heritage of the Lord. God gives you those for a blessing, and he charges you to rear them biblically. And we've already seen this, but the portion is, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. It says, as arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. I'm happy to announce that Jim and Audrey have it's a grandson, correct? A new grandson, and a 46-year-old mama had the baby just fine, and the baby is doing well also. Michael and me and Michelle and Linda, we have something in common because Michael's daughter will be due, and Michael's daughter is married to my grandson, and so in January, there's going to be another one. So I am thankful when young couples seek to have children, because that is God's will. That is God's will. Now, secondly, as we already looked at last week, it's God's will that parents rear their children biblically. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, and ye fathers, it's not just the mother's job. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We went through that last week, but I spent the whole message talking about the importance of teaching your children biblical character. There's 66 biblical character traits that I've identified in the Bible. We didn't go through all 66. We looked at truthfulness, discipline, diligence, faithfulness, loyalty, dependability, kindness, self-control, humility, generosity, patience, compassion, responsibility, perseverance, courage, friendliness, obedience, and forgiving. And there's many more, but those are the ones that we looked at. But today, there is a completely different focus. Instead of focusing on character, in our culture, they focus on beauty or brains or brawn. And really, these things, while I'm hoping everybody says, oh, the baby's beautiful. I think all babies are ugly. But anyway, the fact of the matter is they're beautiful in their own way. But beauty brains in brawn are of little value if character is missing. And we looked at Proverbs chapter 31 in verse 30. It says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. That same principle can be said of men of integrity. Boy, how we need men and women of integrity today. I don't care what party you're at. You got a bunch of liars that run for office. They say we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do the other thing. Once they get elected, well, that's gone with the wind. And in relationship to those type of things, the Bible says we need to be people that let our yea be yea, let our yes be yes, and our nay be nay, and our no be no. We're moving on to a new focus today. We're going to look at three tips that will help you rear your children biblically. In the challenges of today, let me just tell you, if your kids are going to secular school, they're not going to get this stuff. You need to be teaching this to your children yourself, and you need to be tied into a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church that supports these things. And number one, I'm going to zero in on the importance of the dad. Moms are important too. They're to be the keepers at home. They're to be the home managers. But number one, dads, you need to realize that you are your children's first heroes. I really mean that. So as your children watch you, you need to live a life that is a consistent Christian life before them. Tragically, as I've seen things go, very oftentimes, mama and the kids come to church and daddy's got more important things to do. Go pack, you know. I mean, so you have other things, and so you send the kids to church instead of take them to church. Now, a lot of you aren't like that here. I'm kind of preaching to the choir, but I've seen that happen through the years, and what a tragedy that is. But in Proverbs chapter 17 and in verse 6, it says, children's children, that's grandchildren, are the crown of old men. I enjoy my grandchildren. I do. And then when I'm tired of them, I can send them home. But no, I do enjoy them. And when we have them over a lot of times, I just think of the time we had at Thanksgiving. What a wonderful time to teach them what we're thankful for. And so I had the dads in each family make comments and pray. I think it's important. We'll come to it a little bit later. We'll see how that you need to show your children that it's a manly thing to be a man of God. It's not some limp-wristed, whooshy thing. You know, to stand for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ in this culture is a challenge. And praise God for the men who do it. And you will come in for, at the very least, ribbing and razzing, or most, a lot of times you'll end up being harassed. But I just want to tell you, children's children are the glory of old men, and the glory or the boast of children are their fathers. Now, dads are the heroes. When I was growing up, I bragged about my dad when I was a kid. I did. I can even remember pretending that I was my dad. He had two sets of fire clothing that sat in the back room. I never took his best ones, but the older one. You should have seen me. Someplace around there's a picture of it, but I would put on his fire hat, and then I would get his boots, and and all that kind of stuff. Then I'd take off the boots because I couldn't ride my bike with the boots on, but I'd have the fire hat on, so I would jump in the fire truck. That was my bike, by the way. And I would speed off to fight a fire. My dad was the assistant fire chief in the town. And, you know, young children determine what a real man is very often based on the example of their dads. You can like that or you can lump that, but, you know, I've seen that through the years, and there's some studies that demonstrate that. So, particularly when your kids are younger, dads, you're their heroes, and the Bible supports that. You know, as I was just mentioning previously, real men make Christ first priority in their lives. You know what the Bible says? It isn't just written to women. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. It's a blessing to me, and I've seen it happen in this past work day where I see dads come and I see their children come and work as well on church work day. What an example of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Real men read their Bibles and pray. Men out always to what? Pray and not to faint. When you're having challenges in life, when you've got the blessings in life, do your kids, as you're gathered around in your devotional time, I hope you have one, do they hear you pray and thank God for his blessings? Do they hear you pray and thank God for answered prayer? Do they hear you beseech God for the difficulties and the challenges that you're facing in life? Real men read their Bibles and pray. And boy, we need to be able to see men who do that. I get a kick out of this next one. Real men love their wives. Real men love their wives. There was no doubt in my kids' minds that I loved Linda. In fact, as they got older, I'd go by her and give her a hug and give her a smooch or something else, and my daughter would say, "Oh, go rent a room." But the fact of the matter is that they knew Linda and I loved each other. Now, that wasn't in the public forum. I'm talking about in the context of the home. I don't glom all over Linda in public most of the time. Real men go to church. They go to church. Brother, you're a blessing to me because I see you go to church and bring your kid. Many others as well. When things aren't easy, you take your children to church instead of send to church. When kids are sent to church, you know, I for all the years, I started my 40th year a week ago pastoring here, but I look back at all the years and the younger kids were very much involved in church until they started getting 13, 14, 15 when the dads didn't come. Then you know what they told? They told mom, "Oh, I'm going to stay home with dad. Mom, I'm going to stay home with dad." And sometimes dad would even say, "Well, you should go to church with your mom." "Well, you're not going to church, dad." I'm just telling you that being a role model to your children is very important. Real men make Christ first priority. Real men read their Bibles and pray. Real men love their wives. Real men go to church, and real men witness to others. It's good for your children to hear you pray for opportunities to witness and for you to be praying for somebody at work or the next door neighbor or something on that order. And then, of course, and not least of all, these aren't organized except the first one, but real men take time for their children. the pastorate, and most of you are very busy in what you do, the pastorates can be very, very demanding. But when my children were in school, many times I wouldn't get there right at the beginning of their games, but you can't ask Steve, but you can ask the girls, but they would know when Dad arrived. How would you know, Carla?
Oh, Carla,
nice mom. Yeah, when they played in their sports. Go, Carla, come on! Go, Sarah! I did that on purpose. You know what? I wanted them to know that I was interested in my kids and what they were doing. Now, we had the opportunity, a great deal of it, thanks to the First Baptist Church of Oak Creek. We traveled a lot as a family. And I took my children with us as we traveled to the various conferences that were around. We have instilled in our children the travel bug. I can remember the poor kids sweating to death. We were going out in the summertime, and we hit Arizona. We stayed with some people from the previous church, and they had no air conditioning in the house, but they had what they called a swamp cooler. Any of you know what a swamp cooler is? Boy, it felt like a swamp in the house, too. Because a swamp cooler puts moisture in the air, and like everything was clammy, but it was 105 outside. There was no air conditioning in the car. I had one of those old bus fans mounted on the kids so it would blow on them, so it was like a blast furnace blowing on them. So we decided we were going to go at night. And so we kind of rested in the day. So we got in the car, and it was 101 at night. And it was difficult even to hold on to the steering wheel, so I am in the habit of carrying a hanky all the time. So I had a hanky on the steering wheel, and we cracked the windows and the best that we could. We got it out of Arizona. Thank you, Lord. Got out of Arizona, and we were able to move on to California near the coast where it was a lot cooler. But we managed it, we did it together, and we had a good time. I don't care what you do, but make time for your children. Make time for your children. So that's number one. Let's move on to tip number two. Tip number two, communicate with your children constantly, teaching them to love the Lord and to live for Him. The best principle laid down for this comes to us in Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's 3 through 15. So you can either read it here or note it in your Bible, but it says, "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that overfloweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Now the instructions. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart," and here it is, "and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, or when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes. Thou shalt write them on the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee a great and godly cities, to give thee great and godly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. And when thou shalt have eaten and be full, here's the warning, then beware lest thou forget God. You know, we have a tendency when times are rough to be approaching God and praying God more often and more consistently. But God says you need to teach your children. It's so important to keep the things of the Lord before your children. In the morning when you get up, at night when you lie down, in the daytime. It's interesting, some of the houses that I visit, and they have scripture verses and stuff posted around there. That's very important. You keep those things before the eyes of your children. But don't forget God when things are good, when you have been blessed. Do not forget God. And then we come to, and I have this belief. Noel Webster, who was at one time known as the schoolmaster of the United States, education is useless without the Bible. The Bible was America's basic textbooks in all fields. God's word contained in the Bible has furnished all the necessary rules to direct our conduct. You know what's wrong with the public education system today? God's been kicked out. God's been kicked out. A Christian's law in Virginia, I guess it is, as I mentioned last week, he's lost his job because he refused to call a man or a male student by the female name that he wanted to be called by. Literally, Johnny Cash is a boy named Sue thing, but he's lost his job over it. What a great tragedy we have. All I'm saying is, you know where children need to get their moral foundation today? They need to get it from their parents. Parents, one of the most important tasks when it comes to rearing children is an open line of communication with your children early, so that you can begin etching upon your children's mind the words and principles of the Bible. Train up a child in the way that he should go. Somebody said, you're brainwashing them. What do you think the school is doing? The Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's God's truth and God's principles that this nation was founded on, the Judeo-Christian ethic that allows us to enjoy the freedoms that we have today in this country. And if they are to be sustained, this remnant of us Christians needs to not be intimidated by the culture that we live in. And we need to do exactly what it says here, etch upon our children's mind the words and the principles of the Bible. It is the scriptures that will point your children to Christ and to heaven. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 15 says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, that are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The scriptures will point your children to Christ and to heaven instead of Satan and hell. Somebody said, well, they're ready to start a new chapter in their life. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you know what that new chapter is? It's a horrible chapter. It's hell. It's hell. It is the scriptures that will program your child's moral compass. Psalm 119 and 9 through 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Now you might laugh at the next things that I'm going to tell you. But when should all this begin? Well, I think you should sing songs and talk to your child while he or she is in the womb. I do. You know what? A child will get used to your voice, and it can be soothing. There's been studies that have shown this, but begin singing Bible songs, quoting scriptures, talking to your child while he or she is in the womb. And continue that when they are born. I told you about this before, but we were members of the Bible Memory Association, and very early, as soon as our children could begin to talk, we did simple little ABC memory books. All we like sheep have gone astray. B, I can't remember. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But he was wounded for our transgressions. C, children obey your... See, they're helping me. And you know when they remembered that? When they were kids. Teaching them good little songs. So many of the little songs, the B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's, you see, that's old. I don't care. It teaches them a biblical truth. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You know, all those little songs, you know what that does? That imprints on a child's mind the truth and the principles of the scripture. And I'm just going to go from preaching to meddling. Curtail their video game time, curtail their television watching time. They would play video games and they would watch television all the time if you would let them. There are some good biblical video games if you would choose to do that, but you need to begin early and continue when they're born and read them Bible stories, Bible passages, quote scriptures, pray with them, teach them to pray as soon as possible. I've told you that before. Get rid of "Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep" as soon as you can and start them to pray for things that are important to them, to pray for a sick brother or sister. Our kids would always pray for the dog. Don't tell them don't pray for the dog. Let them pray for the dumb dog. The dog probably needs it. I mean, I'm its master. So whatever is important to the child, and that helps. Three good times to talk to your children, and at dinner time. So many families let their kids go into their own room and eat their dinner. It's kind of like a buffet line, and they do, you know, try and get time together, even if dad can't be there, try and get time to be there. And then dad, if you're home before bedtime, we would always pray, and I would always tell them stories before bedtime. Sometimes the stories were a little bit foolish, but they always had a moral to them, made up a lot of stories. It's good. One thing about my wife, she would drive the kids to school in the morning and pick them up and bring them back home to Christians from Christian school and Bring them home was the best time to talk about them, what was going on in their day. What things to talk about. Talk about what salvation is and why they need to be saved. Share your testimonies of how that both of you came to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. We did that over and over again. Note godly and ungodly character in your discussions. Johnny did this at school today. Well, that's a good opportunity for character training. Share how to handle life situations biblically when they bring up a situation. We used to pose hypothetical situations and then explain how you would handle them biblically. And as the kids got older, I would tell them if ever they're in an uncomfortable situation, you're free to use me and tell them, my dad would not like that. If you're not strong enough to say, no, I'm not going to do that, my dad would not like that, and I'm accountable to him. And I told them, if you're in an uncomfortable situation, because they were at school, we had one of those old compact cell phones. It was about like this, and about this thick. They had it there. I said, call me up, and I will be right down there to get you. Discuss the meaning of Bible words and passages, and then tell them how to put it into practice in their own lives. Pray together. Read the Bible together. Quick bedtime notes. I already mentioned I talked to and told stories to my children well into their teenage years. I had fun with them by telling them little stories. We would roll and play games on the floors well into their early teen years. Sometimes the stories would be silly, but I would use them as a teaching tool. God used this time to knit our family together, and after story time, we would pray and tuck them in bed, even as teenagers. I'm not sorry. I love my kids. I wanted them to be godly kids. I wanted them to reproduce after they were married and have godly children and learn some of the things from me. Communicate, communicate, communicate. If you are going to rear your children biblically, you need to take every opportunity to communicate with your children, teaching them to love the Lord Jesus Christ and to live for Him. Your most important mission is to point your children to salvation in Christ and then teach them how to live for the Lord. I think of Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday was an evangelist of two generations past, and he was a former baseball player, and he had evangelistic meetings all over the United States, and his children ended up being infidels. How tragic. Finally, love your children fervently. Children need to know that their parents love them. They need to hear it in words and see it in actions. Paul told Titus that the older women were to teach the younger women to love their children. It wasn't too long ago that I had a young lady tell me that she doesn't ever recall hearing her dad say he loved her. There is great security in being loved properly, rightly. Dads, your children need the security of hearing that they are loved. Loving your children is more than just an expression in words. It's acts of kindness and involvement. It's a hug and a kiss. It's proper loving touches, etc. They're all important expressions of love. Loving your children includes setting clear boundaries of expected behavior. I know you might not like this, but it's biblical. Children should be praised when they obey and disciplined, and in certain times, including spanking, when the children breach the boundaries. Proverbs 13:24 says, "He that spareth the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him often, betimes." Proverbs 22:15 says, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction driveth it far from him." Security of being loved. It is unloving to allow your children to be rowdy, rebellious, and undisciplined. Our society is reaping a crop of violence today because parents have refused to discipline their children biblically. Love your children enough to establish clear, consistent, understandable boundaries in attitude. You know, sometimes our children were disciplined because of their attitude. I want you to go out and clean up the backyard. Okay. Not acceptable. Not acceptable. Love your children enough to establish clear, consistent, understandable boundaries in attitudes and conduct, and then discipline them when they cross the line. Well, it's time to wrap it up. Let me summarize. Realize that you are your children's heroes, Dad. Live a life, a consistent Christian life before them. Communicate, moms and dads, communicate with your children constantly, teaching them to love the Lord and live for Him. Love your children fervently, expressing in actions and words that you love them. Parenting is a huge responsibility. You know, if you have somebody who is getting married, or if you have a grandchild or something, I mean, get a good book on marriage. Certainly I printed that one, but there's other good books on marriage and family relationships as well. But friends, our society is in sad need of knowing and doing what's right. Would you agree? Tim, if you can turn on the lights. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it's a mega job to rear children, and you need the Lord's help. You need the Lord's help. And even if you don't have children, you're even not married yet, I'm just telling you, the day and age in which we live in, we need the help of the Holy Spirit, and the only way that that can come is if you call upon the name of the Lord for your salvation. You've heard me say it numerous times, but you know, there's only one way to heaven. And these are not my words. These are the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way." Not a way. The way, the truth, the life. "And no man," that's generic, "no man or woman cometh unto the Father but by me." I memorized it a long time ago because I was a scout. "You can be trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent, and help little old ladies across the street. But if you die, you'll go to hell because your good works cannot earn you a place in heaven." We're all sinners, And there's only salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to respond to an invitation to trust Christ. You can do it right where you're at in your pew. You can pray and admit that you're a sinner and turn from your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon his name, and he will save your soul. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.